Welcome to the Northern Business Podcast. It's a regular discussion about business in the north of England. It's produced by Recognition PR and sponsored by Virtue Motors. Virtue Motors sells all brands of cars and also owns Bands Direct for commercial vehicles. Today, we're at the offices of Active Chartered Financial Planners to take a hot take on today's budget. And joining me, co-presenting, is Carl Pemberton, who leads Chartered Financial Planners. Active, what was your hot take on the budget?
I think for me, Graham, it was that it wasn't as bad as we probably thought. We had a discussion last week, didn't we, around the communication and the build-up of the whole budget and whether we were being sort of our expectations were being developed in a way that they could sort of come in a little bit under, which I think they have. For me, I think having the allowances tapering over so many years, certainly with regards to capital gains tax, entrepreneurs relief or business property relief, as it's known, I think those tapering over several years rather than being a cold, hard shock overnight. I only wrote down that potentially when one thing is doing that, which we'll probably touch on at some point.
Well, my take was that she announced $40 billion of extra tax and more in terms of extra spending because there was borrowing as well. But the lion's share of that $40 billion falls on business. And, you know, it was Churchill that said business isn't a tiger to be caged or a cow to be milked or a strong arm, it's a horse, a bull, a cart. And I just was looking to whether that taxation and regulation would impede business. And like you, I did feel it wasn't as bad as all that. In fact, although $40 billion is a lot of money, it is only less than 1.5% of GDP. So it's irritating and costly, but it may not impede growth.
No. And like you say, there are a couple of little snippets in there for smaller business owners. Again, I think we've all heard on the media over the last couple of days about small business owners, what is a worker, etc. And, you know, little things around the employer allowance on national insurance will certainly ease the pain a little bit with regards to those increases that we've seen announced today.
We need to introduce our panel. We've got the you and I talking, but also the guests.
Yep, we've got Sharon Lee from Teeth Components, Managing Director over there. Sharon, can I come to you with your initial thoughts?
Yeah, as Graham says, $25 billion raised by the changes in employer national insurance contributions. And I think I heard this right, $22.6 billion additional spend on the NHS. Big numbers for the Department of Education, $2.9 billion MOD. So there's a lot of money there, isn't there, being spent or being invested. We're not calling it spending anymore. We're calling it investment. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And it is what we need. I did hear, though, quite a lot about how efficiency and productivity was going to be improved in the public sector. And I do think that with this new government, there is this kind of jam today. But actually, we do need reform. And we do need to tighten the purse strings, and we're not going to have the waste that we've had in the past. You know, we heard of this public sector efficiency, COVID corruption person, value for money office, fraud in welfare. And that's good. You know, we need to know that's happening, don't we? It's not just there's a lot more money and we'll let you get on with it. So I quite like that balance, to be honest.
Okay, that's great, Sharon. And of course, you run a manufacturing team, so we might ask a bit about how it affects your sector in a minute. Ben Quaintrell, who runs My Property Box, are you involved in landlords and property investors, and you also invest in property yourself? What was your hot take?
Yeah, I sit here with two hats on. One is a business owner. We employ around about 60 people. Half of them will be on minimum wage. So, you know, we're going to feel a pinch for that quite a lot. I did a quick calculation as I was sat there, and it's roughly about $50,000 this will cost our business. The minimum wage increase is higher than we actually thought, and so we will feel that. From a landlord point of view, though, I don't think it was the end of the world. I think they can probably take a sigh of relief. The stamp duty 2% is a bit of it's a pain, but it's not the end of the world. And I don't think it would stop an investor or a landlord. The capital gains, obviously, that's staying the same for residential. However, obviously, as we saw, if it's a limited company, which a lot of landlords use as a vehicle to invest in exit, and that obviously that's getting increased. So, generally, overall, not the end of the world for landlords. I didn't think they were going to hit them too hard, because what they don't want is mass exodus from the market, because it's already rental prices are through the roof. There's already massive demand. So I think they were careful on that point.
I think both of you were also would agree that they have set out what they're spending the money on. The taxation, though, does fall disproportionately on business, doesn't it? It's not spread among people at all. There wasn't a fuel duty increase, for instance, which I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of helping with cost of living, as you say, it's very much about, you know, improving things like the carer's allowance and a penny off your pint and these kinds of measures. Apart from the income tax decision to keep previous government's freeze until 2028, we can't change that because the Conservative government have already done that, so we can't change that. But we'll do it in 2028-29, by which time inflation should be right down anyway. So we won't go up by as much as if we'd have done it now. But yeah, as you say, Graham, it's all falling on us. And these NI increases, I mean, I just jotted down a few notes there. They said that it was an increase of 1.2%, but it's, of course it's not. It's 13.8% up to 15%, which is a 9% increase. Mm. And with that change in the thresholds as well, I make that very roughly. If you had a £30,000 employee, a 30% increase in the NI that you're going to be paying them, which is huge.
And also, the threshold freeze itself, our people in the audience were scribbling up to the chartered accountants that here, yes, they were straight away. £50 per person before you increase the actual rate. That's, you have a headcount. I don't know what your headcount is, but it's just the threshold increase, 50 per person is thousands.
I think just that NI rise without the minimum wage rises as well and the apprentice rate rises have cost us £75,000 without anything else.
These are quite serious cash implications because you can't set them aside. You've got to pay them straight away.
And sorry, just to add on to that point, while that was on our text and one of our managers at work about the increase, and she's like, well, that's £50,000 now. Do we need to look at redundancy? We've never made a redundancy in the history of our business, but, you know, there will be a lot of businesses looking at that to cover the cost.
I was going to say on there, Ben, sorry, Graham. Yeah. With regards to all increases, do you think businesses will adjust how they see recruitment going forward then, rather than taking on people? They will have a period of bedding in and seeing where the land's laid before they go on a recruitment search.
Absolutely. They're going to have to re-budget and recalculate. It's higher than we thought it was going to be, yeah. So it's going to be uncertainty for a short time, so yeah.
Almost without a doubt, a recruitment freeze. Of course, you have an engineering business and recruitment's always an issue for you because you have specialist skills you need. So what do you think you will do to effectively counter this?
I just think that this is quite tragic, really, for the country's skills crisis. I'm really, really disappointed with these minimum wage increases for apprentices. So apprentice rates have gone up to £7.55 an hour for their first year. So apprentice rates are only paid in the first year of your apprenticeship. And in our business, in our sector, and lots of similar sectors, we're doing advanced apprenticeships, which means that for your first year, you're usually at college 2 days a week. And the other 3 days a week, you're not particularly working in terms productive, of doing, yeah. You're not productive, you're learning. So it's really, I see it as a training allowance. And that's gone up since 2023. That's gone up 43% now in 2 years. And I just think that's such a disincentive to employers to train people at a time where we desperately need to incentivize SMEs in particular to train people in these scarce skills. Added to that, just staying on skills, £2.3 billion announced for schools, £300 million announced for FE. That's nothing for FE. You've got about 1.7 million people in FE at the moment. So that's £176 a head, I make it, which is nothing. Really disappointing.
One last question that you raised that I wanted to ask was about productivity. You'll have noticed that the productivity target was 2% in the public sector. Yet across the board, since the government was elected, they've been granting wage rates well above that. And there is surely a link between wage rates and productivity. If your aim for productivity is less than your wage growth, significantly in some cases, that's going to eat in to an overall productivity loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And minimum wage going up by 6.7% will have that impact that we saw this year, where everybody who isn't on minimum wage then expects a similar increase. And wage costs then result in higher factory gate prices. So it will be passed on into inflation.
What about investments and people that are investing their money? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think, well, there are two sides of investment that we look at. There's obviously the investment that was mentioned quite a bit today. There's obviously quite a clear drive by the government to invest in public services and public infrastructure. A couple of obviously notable mentions. I think there was a school in Hartlepool for our region, and there certainly was obviously the Teesside carbon capture plant, which was announced a few weeks ago. I think we would all like to see our roads and our infrastructure improved locally, and Wi-Fi is something you've championed before, isn't it, Sharon, around those communities that are a little bit more remote than we are. So from an investment point of view, I'm all for investment. I do agree with the government that we do need to invest in our infrastructure and our services. Investment in terms of what we do for our clients, it's obviously going to be, an opportunity to chat to our clients again, or certainly over the next 6 months before April. I think certainly bringing the pensions into the inheritance tax threshold from 2027, I think that was, will make a big difference to some people. And it just opens up the opportunity to have those conversations and go back to clients as to what do they want to do with their monies. It was nice to hear that reliefs will stay available for things like AIM and obviously the business
there
property relief.
There were fewer reliefs, but they were there.
Yeah, 50% reliefs, wasn't it? But and I wrote down, so I don't know if these are going to be exact based on the detail. It was 50% reliefs for AIM on business property reliefs and on farms. For assets over $1 million is what I interpreted that as. So hopefully that comes out in the detail. So at least it's a 20% tax rather than a 40% tax, which is still better than nothing, or certainly the fear of everything being taken away.
I got an offer to buy my business a few weeks ago and decided not to. I think I was right anyway, but from a tax point of view, they have increased over a period of few years the amount of entrepreneurs relief or business asset disposal relief, as they call it now. So if you sold the business for £1 million, you'd be paying in due course around 180,000 in tax, whereas before you'd be paying 100,000. But it could have been worse.
It could have been worse. I think, again, because the rumour and the speculation was that it was going to be aligned with income tax, everybody thought it would just literally go to 20 or 40%. And again, as I said at the outset, the fact that they're going to phase that over a few years, 10% remaining for this year, 14% for the next tax year, and 18% for the tax year after that, you know, it's still a bit of relief for that first £1 million if you are an entrepreneur.
Can I introduce one other point before we wrap today? And that's about, she said at the beginning, I quote, invest, invest, invest. And I got the impression, really, she means the government investing, and it could end up squeezing out money from private investors. So if gilts go up, and they're very attractive now, I'm sure some of your clients are buying gilts. What is it, 4.29%?
Yeah.
2.2% in Germany for 10-year gilts. That will squeeze out a lot of investment because people will put money into the government. Well, what happens for people may want to buy housing stock that Ben's selling or buy into small businesses?
Yeah, it'll certainly have an impact on, you know, interest rates, those long-term gilt rates. So there is probably then a feeling that interest rates will stay higher for longer, and they obviously won't reduce. But I think that's pretty much the same as it is in the US, as it is for ourselves. Europe has got a slightly lower economic outlook. So, yes, it's not ideal. It's still better than where we were 2 years ago, if I'm going to be pragmatic about it. But there are still opportunities to grow within certainly the stocks and shares market. And obviously, if the AIM market remains buoyant, which has been over the last hour or so, it seems to have reacted well to the news because, again, I think there was a fear that it was going to be taken away in its entirety. So.
And in the northeast of England, many of the quoted companies are AIM, aren't they? So
that's right.
That's right. Well, Carl, thank you. Ben, thank you. And also Sharon. That's it for our Hot Take Budget Northern Business Podcast. Join us again in the next week, and we'll be discussing it in further detail and other economic issues. Don't forget to like, subscribe, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for joining us. See you again soon.